Bible with you today, if you'd turn with us over into John's Gospel, chapter number 5. I was looking forward to my friend, Brother Fletcher, being able to be with us today. And so there's some things that's come up and just not a good time for him to leave. And I appreciate that about a pastor, knowing when he can, when he can't. And I want to be with the flock that God's put me with on Sunday mornings as well. So y'all pray for him that God would help him and strengthen him. John's Gospel, chapter number 5. I guess there's several ways you could go about preaching out of this text. And probably there's never been more of a text been misapplied and misappropriated and out of all the Gospel of John than John 5. Here we have a word certain appears again. I've preached about the certain Samaritan. Preached on a certain nobleman. Last Sunday we spoke a little bit out of the book of Proverbs. But this Sunday I want to preach on this certain season. Certain season. John 5 now, the Bible said after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered. Here's something I'm waiting, looking at this morning, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down, here's our phrase, at a certain season, into the pool and troubled the water. I like this Bible word, whosoever. Then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for these to carry thy bed. I don't say so. Jesus can do whatever Jesus wants to do on any day he wants to do it. He's not bound by the law. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus finds him in the temple, said to him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. Hey, has Jesus ever done anything for you this morning? And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Went against their little rules and bylaws of their church. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You today. We thank You for this Sunday, the Lord's Day. Thank You for these little ones that have stood and been a blessing to the people of God this morning. Thank You for mom and daddies that are bringing to the house of God, that they too may be blessed and that they too may be a blessing to others. Help us now in the Scriptures today. Dear God, I'm a needy preacher. I pray You'd touch me and use me to be a blessing. God, I pray the Spirit of God would say something today. Lord, that would encourage hearts and draw those that are lost to You. Help our church and church family. God, many are traveling today. Lord, I pray You'd touch them and help them. God, help Brother Fletcher, their family and church today. All my preacher friends around this country, I pray that the Spirit of God would do great things in their places today. Help our nation this morning. God, help our president. Lead, guide him. Protect our country, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask You, amen and amen. Preaching today out of John 5 on this certain season. In verse 5, it's also listed as a certain man. Now, as God wrote our Bible, He highlighted different characters and He implemented this word certain. The certain centurion. The certain nobleman. But here we have a certain season and a certain man. Now, I want you to notice in this text of John 5, you'll notice verse number 3, the Lord spoke about troubled water. Troubled water. For He said in verse number 4, there is certainly a descriptive text. An angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. I want to say today that heaven knows how to stir up our water. Heaven knows how to bring troubled water. A lot of times we blame the troubling of the water on many others, but we've all got to understand that God is over the troubled waters. Matter of fact, a lot of us in our lives, we've experienced troubled waters, but oh, I sure am glad that this troubled water, this man was sitting around waiting for the water to be troubled again. But isn't it amazing? Through our troubled waters, many times it brings us healing. We think that because the waters are troubled, thinking in a different light of the text, we think we can never get better and things will never be like they was. But I'm glad that God's not only over troubled water, but God brings healing by troubled water. So therefore, this troubled water, it's a descriptive text. It was heaven sent. It was stirred from above. But then, notice if you would, on this troubled water, not only this descriptive text, but there's a very destructive truth. Look in verse 7. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. There's a destructive truth, there was no man to help him when the water was troubled. I'm glad that I've got friends in this life. But you'll notice in walking through this life, as the children sung today, just let the others say what they want to say and let them move on. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And thank God there are people that have helped me in my troubled waters. But when it gets down to the point of the verse today, there's no man that can help us through troubled waters. But I'm glad the God man can today. He said, I have no man to help me. Then I want to talk to the church a few minutes. I wonder why others had not helped this man. I think a lot of times as being the pastor, the preacher, I look around and I wonder why there's not more folks helping others than how they could be doing. I think a lot of times that when this water was troubled, that no doubt this man could have gotten some help if he could have found a man to help him. I wonder, will you be that man or will you be that woman that would help others down through the troubling of the water? He couldn't find a man to help him. Sad situation. I'm thankful for friends that helped me through troubled waters. But there are some waters that will be troubled that nobody can bring us through but Jesus. Now thank God for people that give it an effort and they try. A preacher can't say anything to fix anything. But God can do anything this morning. And so in this troubling of this water, there's a descriptive text. There's a destructive truth. But look in verse 7. This is where many people are in our church. This is where many people are in our community. This is where many are in America. Watch your Bible. This troubled water, not only a descriptive text, a destructive truth, but look at this discouraging trap. Verse 7. He says, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming down, another steppeth down before me. And my goodness, he's stuck and can't move. Are you stuck where you are? It seems like you just can't move forward. You see, he said, while I'm coming down, another one's stepping down before me. And you know, that's a pretty easy cop-out in our day and hour. The reason that I'm stuck and not going forward, I'm going to blame it on somebody else. But honey, we can't blame our problem on somebody else. It's always our problem. It's our issue. And we can move forward if we really want to get forward. You see, it's a trap that the devil will have set for you. There's no hope. This man didn't have any hope. The water quit being stirred. And every time he tried to get down in these healing waters, somebody stepped down before him. Somebody was breaking line. But I want to tell you as a country preacher this morning, if you need help from the Lamb of Glory, nobody will break line in front of you today. Nobody will step ahead of you. God is available this morning. I'm glad I ain't got to wait in line. Thank the Lord He come by one day. The rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, the bride of the morning star. I'm glad He took my case that day. Boy, wouldn't it be bad that God wasn't big enough that we had to wait in line. You see, that's where we are in Christianity today. People's waiting in line because it can't accommodate everybody. Let me tell you today, friend, the church may be bogged down. Sacraments may be bogged down, but Jesus isn't bogged down. He'll take us all at one time this morning. Ain't nobody got to get in line with Jesus. Oh, I'm glad I didn't. Wouldn't that be so sad if I needed help and somebody broke line in front of me and I didn't get it?
Wouldn't that be minimizing God in such a way? You really think about it. Wouldn't that be minimizing God that when people had a need, they couldn't get their need met because somebody else got ahead of them? I'm glad we all, even at Calvary's cross, I'm glad there's no big ones, no little ones. Whether you got something or ain't got nothing, you can all get in with Jesus this morning. This troubling water. But secondly, not only this troubled water, there's a tragic waiting. Verse 3, the Bible said that in these lay, look, a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting. For the moving of the water. Now, this tragic wait. Look at here, church. Look at the folks he is laying with. Blind, halt, withered. Couldn't see. Hands were withered. Couldn't work. They were halt. Couldn't move on their feet. And so these folks that he was laying with, when you lay with that kind of people spiritually, you don't have a lot of hope. I mean, when you're hanging out with people that can't see, people that can't walk for the Lord, people don't work for the Lord, it's sort of a hopeless situation. That's why we all ought to be minding God. People come in and sit down at Liberty Baptist Church. They ought to not see people that is withered. People that's quit walking and people that can't see. Honey, if they come in, they can see. They can walk by the power of Jesus. But we that are saved ought to give people hope and let them know we got saved one day and we see different than we've ever seen before. They're waiting. The folks they were laying with. Matter of fact, a lot of you ain't never going to get no better till you change the crowd you laying with. If you lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. But all of a sudden, something happens in the Bible. There's a sheep gate. There's a pool of Bethesda. There's five porches. What's your point? Well, in this waiting, what they didn't understand, coming in the sheep gate, oh Lord, was the Lamb of glory. The one that John said, seen him across the river, and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Through the sheep gate walked the precious Son of God. He walked up the five porches. It means grace. He walked into the pool of Bethesda. Means house of mercy. I tell you what you got when you got Jesus, honey. You got the Lamb of God. You got grace. And you got a house of mercy. I'm glad this morning He'll take anybody. Things fix to start picking up now. Jesus has come by. They've been there in all their sacraments and all their policies. That's where a lot of churches are bogged down and people's waiting for the moving of the water. They're all bogged down in conferences and moves and orders and structures. Their bylaws. We got a vote to turn air above 69.5. Not here we don't. Amen. If the air conditioning breaks, would somebody go fix it? We ain't got to have a conference to vote on somebody fix the air conditioning. Many do, so sad. But this morning, there's the sheep gate. Jesus, isn't it amazing? There were 10 gates. Nehemiah spoke of these gates and the sheep gate. This is where the sacrifice was brought through the gate. where people could receive help for their sins. And here the Lord Jesus walked through the sheep gate into the house of mercy, where there was five porches. The number five means that of grace. I'm glad we're not saved by works. Could I ask you how this man could work? He couldn't do nothing. He was totally dependent upon grace. We are saved by grace through faith. Plus nothing, minus nothing. I'm glad the Son of God came through the sheep gate to Calvary's cross. There's a tragic wait. What are you waiting on? Are you waiting for troubled water to hit? What are you waiting? In the other expositions, we talked about the signs and the miracles, and Jesus stopped them dead in their tracks and said, "An adulterous and sinful generation seeketh after a sign." They wanted to use the Lord as a magician. He's not a magician. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So, this troubled water, this tragic wait, the folks he laid with, the fix he lived with, look at this, is a long time. In that case, 38 years. Isn't that amazing? 38 years. Let me ask you, everybody in the house that is 37 years old and down, now Brother David, me and you can't raise our hand, but 37 and down, raise your hand up this morning. I want you to wave. 37 and down. Help me preach a little bit. We got more than that. Raise your hands up. If you're 37 year old and below, raise your hands up. Thank you. Y'all make poor preachers. Could you imagine he had lived in this case longer than you are old? He'd been a long time in that case. Can you imagine what this man experienced every day? And you know, with the life of sin, the life of sitting in darkness, your hands are withered, your feet are halt. Wouldn't that be such a pitiful case to be in that for all of your life and have never been set free? You see, upon this tragic wait, the folks he laid with, the fix he lived with. But look in verse 6. Look at the facts he listened with. Jesus walks up, says something to him individually. Can I tell you something? Jesus has said things corporately. But Jesus deals with people individually with salvation. He calls us individually. He don't do group calls. He does one-on-one. And so he simply said this to this one certain man. Look what he says. And he simply says this in verse 6. And this man didn't even know who he was. "Wilt thou be made whole?" Isn't that something? He comes through the sheep gate. Here's a man lying with the people in the same situation he's in. And the Lord walked right up to him. And all he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" It's a great question. It's a great question to ask you this morning, "Wilt thou be made whole?" So, this troubled water, this tragic wait. But thirdly, look at this timely word. Timely word. Now, get this, and I'm about done preaching, but this is what I want our membership to see this morning. This is the whole thrust of this text of John 5. And I want you to listen to it. They were waiting while he was in their midst. They were waiting for something while he was simply waiting in their midst.
Now, in verse 6, this timely word, I've already said it was a personal word. For he said, wilt thou be made whole? It was a passionate word. But, in verse 8 is a very productive word. Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately, the man was made whole. And took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, preacher, where's faith involved? Well, when Jesus spoke to him, the man responded. He arose, walked. Before you'll ever be saved, you've got to respond to what Jesus says to you. Isn't it wonderful grace that God come by and said something to us one day? I mean, multitudes sitting everywhere. And this is the Lord's business. We know He died for all. But isn't that amazing? He says specific things to certain people. It's the Lord's business. All we can do is preach the gospel. The Bible said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Isn't it amazing, Brother Mike? You can preach a sermon and somebody on the same pew don't hear nothing. And the one beside them, the winds are blowing on them and the Lord's dealing their heart. That's not the preacher's business. That's the Spirit of God's workings and how He ministers and how He does things. But never lose this sight. Jesus died for everybody. He paid your sin debt, and you can be saved by grace through faith this morning. So Jesus walks up to this pool and He says, wilt thou be made whole? Let me ask you something. Would you like to get out of your situation today? Don't be like this group waiting for something bizarre to happen to give you a sign. Jesus loves you. And would y'all agree this morning, He is in our midst? Oh, I sense Him here today. So let me ask you today, closing this sermon, why would you be waiting further for something to happen? Why wouldn't you just respond to His Word? Wilt thou be made whole? Ma'am, would you be made whole? Sir, wilt thou be made whole? Young kids, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be saved? Then there's a way, and nobody has stepped down in front of you. Jesus will take you how you are. Now watch this. This blows a lot of religious Pharisees' minds. Jesus accepted him, Brother Adam, just the way he was. A lot of people think, well, I'm going to clean up and do better, and maybe the Lord will receive me. There's not enough cleaning up you can do. The Lord took us just how He found us, but thank God He didn't leave us how He found us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become anew. Now, ain't this amazing? Look what Jesus says. He simply says this now. Okay? He was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said to him, behold, Miss Kathy, please be getting me a song ready to sing this morning. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And they was all upset. And in this amazing church, he came in with his back on his bed. But he left out with his bed on his back. Jesus said, rise and walk. Boy, when Jesus said something to him, could you imagine what this man experienced? He said, Lord, I just got in. Nobody stepped down in front of me this time.
Lord, you've made no, you've fixed everything. He said, Lord, I've been waiting so long for something to happen. But I just simply took you at your word today. I put faith in what you said. Rise, walk. You know, isn't it amazing that Jesus didn't leave him? How he found him? Rise. That morning at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, three rows back, right behind Brother David, two behind him, that side of the church. Girls, your daddy had been 20 years in that case. Jesus come by and knocked on my heart. This is what I said, and it's all I said. When my foot responded to God, I said, Lord, save me. And I got up from where I was. Oh, I've been knocked down a few times, haven't you? Matter of fact, this religious crowd will knock you down. As soon as he got out, they started throwing rocks at everything that happened. I can just imagine him coming in. His back on that bed, they just towed him in there. He left out. He had that bed up on his back. I said, hey, what happened to you? Did that water get to stirring? Nope. I waited too long on that. I said, a man met me a while ago. I said, when he said something to me, he was Jesus. And he told me this, I better go try to live right or worse things will come my way. Because now I done got light. And I need to be walking in that light. This morning,